Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you, Divine Assembly, for that song on Sunday. We live, this is actually the summary of the ministry. We live not for ourselves, but for the men that Jesus died for. This lady, I cannot pronounce your name. You are here again. Atatia Zachariah. Welcome, welcome. You are the new member I see today. One of Koyemi, I don't know where she came from. Thank you so much. Okay, so I call it the Teaching Ministry of Jesus, Track 9. Please pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. I think since there's video on Friday, we will not be having teaching on Friday, but tomorrow we have 1 month to just make it part 10, then we pause it for now, because there's actually a lot to say. The Teaching Ministry of Jesus, track 9. So thanks again for everyone that joined me freshly today. Finally, Sister Peace, welcome back. Isaac, awesome, long time. Little Witch, Zachariah, you are welcome again. Thank you for all the new people. I still don't know who is this book is, something like that. Whatever, I will know later. Okay, thanks so much. So, the Teaching Ministry of Jesus, this is track 9. Amen. Please, tonight is actually very important. You cannot follow me so as if tonight without your Bible, like you really need a Bible tonight. Please, I beg you. That is how you can profit what I'm saying right now. You need a note which you are using to write. It's not just we are using this atmosphere, we are using this avenue to teach God's word, because we have actually established that culture in church, okay? So it's the same culture that we use in church that we also bring here. This is actually very important. So please help me to treat it with that much importance. Sorry, my folks, please, in case network went off, please let me know immediately. Thank you. Let me know on WhatsApp also so I can swap or flash me. Thank you so much. So let me start this way. So learn to speak with confidence over situations, okay? Learn to speak with confidence over situations, whether it's a situation of demonic issue or etc. Learn to speak with confidence over situation. Like at times we just doubt ourselves. We think we have to do several prayer gymnastics. Hope you know that the prayers you are praying in church is not for you to have authority over demons. It's not for you to have power over demons. As this prayer is, like, it's not until you pray. That is not when that prayer is not your. It's not really your confidence for exercising authority. Who you are in Christ, your sonship is your confidence, okay? Your sonship is your authorization. Your sonship is what you rely upon, who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Learn to speak with joy. Just lift up your hands and just say, I am the master over this situation. Just at times, these things is just so confusing. People are just complaining where you are. Don't be in the camp of murmurers. Murmurers. What do they call them? Sorry, whatever you call it, people that murmur, don't be in such camp, okay? People that murmur, yeah, don't be in such camp, okay? Don't be in camp of people who complain, people who Larry Tank, I can see your message on WhatsApp, and don't be in a camp of those who just complain about everything. Learn to speak with confidence over situations. Like there's this one that I see that we saw today. When people ought to be panicking, I just lift up my hand and I speak a straight word. And at times you just think that some bad things are normal. It's not always normal. Hallelujah. Learn to speak with joy. Just lift up your hands and declare without doubt in your heart, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the master over this atmosphere. I am the master in this environment. I'm a child of God. Speak with joy. Speak with confidence. You want to heal the sick at times? First, declare that, yeah, I am here as a master over sickness and diseases. I am here as a master over sickness. I am here as a master over this issue. I just declare who you are. You are a son. Declare it. Speak with confidence. Are you with me? Okay. Thank you so much. So I'm teaching you this much so that you can be voluminous. Let me say that again. I am teaching you this much so that you can be voluminous in your approach, so that you can convince people with voluminous evidence. You don't have to be a member, a worker in a defense assembly. You must not be scanty in your defense of the gospel. you must not be scanty. Let me say this. It's a man that does not have much to say that quickly does fire for fire. That reply that somebody will say one word, one syllable, you reply one syllable. Somebody will say one sentence, you reply one sentence. No. You are a giant, okay? Just like if a giant and a dwarf is fighting, it will not look like it to them. It is not a competition. It won't prove a point. Are you with me? The dwarf can be punching the giant for it can be giving him 100 punches. If that one give him one, that one will fall down. So you are not a weakling, okay? You are not a weakling in the scripture. Are you with me? You are not a weakling in the scriptures. Say that to yourself. I am not a weakling with the scriptures. I can convince the gainsayers. Come on, say that to yourself. So at times people are just talking. Just wait for them to stop ranting. When they are done, say, "Are you done?" Then you now start. You're now asking, so are you ready for explanation? Then you now download like 5 times of more volume than he has spoken before. Like from scriptures. You don't say 3 sentences without quoting from scripture. Tell him, open your Bible. Open ear, open ear, open ear. Be voluminous in your approach. Talk like a pro. You are a pro. Come on. You are a professional. Talk like a pro. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are a professional with the scriptures. You are a professional with the scriptures. That is why we are teaching you so much. Tell him, open your Bible. That is why in church, we do our best not to be quoting plenty things for you so you can open it and see so that it can remain there. It is in much reading that retention is seen. It is in much reading that we see retention. That is when you will retain. So you are a master. You have studied. You have done exam. This is how we show love to the ignorant. You will teach him until he is tired. You will not be the one that will get tired. You have written exam for 12 hours in church. You are not tired. You will be the one that will get tired. This is our approach. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are not tired. Don't forget. Let me say this. Write this down clearly and boldly. I mean, what I'm about to say, write it down clearly and boldly. Atatia, you are here again. So, I mean, with your notes or what do you call it. So, please write this down clearly and boldly. Love is a one-sided responsibility. Don't forget, under this series, I've been talking also about love. I'll be talking about marital love, how to like the length and breadth of all what you need to be a good husband or for you to marry well, everything. I have discussed this in this series, okay? This is part 9. Although the teaching does not really look like a marriage seminar, but I've said a lot about marriages, about relationships in it. So try and get all those earlier parts and you understand better what I am saying. So I said love is a one-sided responsibility. One-sided. Don't forget, we have love and serve on the website already. Thanks to Brother Hakim. He has done that for us. Love is a one-sided responsibility. Let that ring in your head. This is why you must think properly before you say, "I do." Because after you have given your word, then God has joined you together. How does God join them together? Through their words, not through a pastor. So, after you have agreed, then love to you is not based on your partner. Love is a one-sided responsibility. Love is self-motivated. Love is self-motivated. Love requires no feedback loop for sustenance. Love requires no feedback loop. If you know what is called feedback, that means it's not until he gets a feedback that he retains. No, or something like that. Love requires no feedback loop for sustenance. Hallelujah. See, God powers up love through you. You have God, you have love. God powers up love through you. Through you. You have God, you have got God, you have got love. So, as touching doctrine, like, learn to show love in your approach. Are you with me? When somebody is speaking roughly to you, just relax. You know what to say. That's why you relax. Somebody just ranting. It's almost even abusing you. Maybe in your evangelism, stuff like that. Let's just relax. Show love. You also show love in that. Don't forget, I have told you that the primary way we show love to the world, let the world see Jesus in your eyes. You show them love. That can be denied. The primary way with which you do this is that preaching of the gospel, giving food and bread and wine is so tertiary. Giving spiritual things is the primary representation of love. Hallelujah. So somebody is talking of you are patient. You are not quick to make enemies. You tell him relax. Relax. Hallelujah. See, it's actually those who are deliberate counterfeits. Like, remember when I taught you under engaging unbelief, you separate the deceiver from the deceived. It's only those who are deliberate deceivers. They are the ones we oppose according to scripture. So, but those who are still struggling to learn, who are still getting it wrong, who are still, at least if he's still listening, if he's still listening to you, download like a mature man of God. That is why you are taught. What you are taught must not, cannot end in the fact that you did the exam. It cannot end in your, whatever you call it. It cannot end just in your mind. Are you with me? Praise God. I remember in like nowadays, I know I don't post on Facebook like before again. In like 2 years, 3 years ago, when you ask me a question or you made a, I made a post, you made a small comment that seems like you understand, ask those who knew me there. Ask those dudes. Is my comment line are much more longer than the post. I will now start line upon line, scripture by scripture. It's you people that did not allow me to really have much time for Facebook again. Amen. Of course, but that's also why we have the website. If anyone wants to learn more, it's about like for instance, somebody asked me today, okay, said, how do I explain God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost? Are they three gods in one, or are they the same God that manifested in three forms? I say none of the two. I say none of the two. It's not one God that manifested in three forms. It's not three God in one. I say it's none of the two. What is the explanation? It's not in definition. There's no definition for Trinity. It is explanation. You can only explain that concept, which we have done in several series, which I cannot even remember again. I think our Jesus is best in that. You know, if we have taught anything and I don't even know where it is, just go to this Pastor Joy. She will tell you. She's a chief examiner, worshiper. Thank you, Brother Jude. So, hallelujah. Let this be your approach in teaching people love. You are passionate to impact. What you have known, you don't want it to end with you. Like that simple, simply what is my one and two. Every Christian needs it. Or else one day we come because of maybe what job you did not come. And to buttress it, this thing that Pastor Joy taught last time, is it why bad things happen to Christians? Something like that. I think Brakim has also put it on the website. Thank you. Thanks so much, brother. He has also put it on the website. Try and get, lay your hands on it and listen carefully. Of course, as if you have not listened before. So like those two series is something you should teach your friends. So that when things go haywire, instead of blaming God, you address the situation. So that when you just see things not going fine in the country, you are not quick to blame God. Because as you are blaming God, you are running, you are getting farther from your deliverance. Are you with me? So please, while we are teaching all this, like what I will do tonight, I'm even scared of the topic myself. But I have to teach you anyway, and I'll run away when I'm done. Praise God. So now, let's start properly today. So the teaching ministry of Jesus, this is track 9. So we have been looking at the four gospels, but not really the historical content, but the teaching, the teaching parts. So the four gospels has been one of the places that counterfeit run to, so as to discredit the message of Christ. That's the issue. That's why I'm just looking at it carefully. Like it's one of the places that the counterfeits they run to, so as to discredit the message of Christ. Imagine using the words of Jesus to discredit the purpose of Jesus. That's so sad. Using the words of Jesus himself to discredit the purpose of Jesus. This is why I did, I will do my best for us to look at the teachings in those four synoptic gospels to be sure that we know what they all mean. We are not going to assume. Are you with me? Because that is one place that at times some people, they don't even know the epistles. They just, because they have heard this one in their Bible story when they are young, they just run to this to just say anything about Jesus. Hallelujah. Before you say Jesus has died, they say, but Bible says Luke 9:62. No, for some of them, they don't even know where it is. And no man putting his hand on a plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom. They'll call it whatever. Not knowing he's talking about faithfulness in ministry, commitment to ministry. They say, what is sin against the Holy Ghost? Like, that is when you are in church and you are not praying very well. Oh, the Holy Ghost is moving and something is, and you are saying, that's not the Holy Ghost. People, they didn't know that it is unbelief. And you go to the rush to John chapter 20, say, whosoever sin you retain shall be retained. They call it whatever. They say, go to Matthew 7, say, not all that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. They will not know that he's talking about the same unbelief. They say, but they are saying, Lord, Lord. That means they are prophesying in my name. So these are things that people go wrong to discredit the message of Christ. That's why we are looking at them line upon line. They will say, it's only the narrow road that enters heaven. Saying five fully virgins five foolish wise virgins, fully virgins, as if they are not married. Imagine. And they are not females. So just plenty stuff. E.g. now, for instance, we have seen the beatitudes, the beatitudes, whatever you guys call it. Matthew 5:3. You should remember this. You see, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Imagine. There is like if you don't interpret that very well, it will you just enter regalo, which we have seen in this same series that he's saying. When he's saying poor in the spirit, he's talking, I think that one is talking about humility with the word, right? That should be humility with the word. He says, and theirs is the kingdom of God, meaning of such is the kingdom of God. It's not saying until you fulfill this, that's when you enter heaven. So he said, people of the kingdom, they are people who are humble, humility with the word. That means they are meek with the word. They receive the word with meekness, poor in the spirit. You can get that, should be part one or part two or part three, where we discussed all this. Verse 5, Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek. Please open your Bible. You are writing, you are doing your best to open your Bible. Just, you have to do everything tonight. Seriously, if you are not opening your Bible tonight, I will confuse you. I will really confuse you. You will be confused. I cannot teach what I'm saying today without looking at the Bible. So thank you. Matthew 5:5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Imagine the way, what Jehovah Witness has used this one to do. For we have seen that he's actually talking about he's talking about being meek. He's talking about evangelism in quotes, and your prophets is coming from the earth. Like, he's talking about the patience with which we preach the gospel. So go to Matthew 6:7. So let's make progress today. Are you ready, somebody? Matthew 6:7. We have been discussing about hypocrisy. I said a lot about hypocrisy yesterday, and I've told you that it's not your character as a Christian. You are not born to be a hypocrite. You are not born to be a stage player. You are not born to be an actor. We don't assume another's responsibilities. We don't frame things. We are born of God. We are sincere. We do as we are led. We are led of God to be sincere. We are led of God to be plain. We are led of God. We are not hypocrites. So, continuing that line, Matthew 6:7. Please pay attention today. Pay serious attention. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the eating do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. That word vain repetition, that should be Greek word batologio, 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 batologio. It means to say the same thing over and over, to use many idle words, to stammer, to repeat the same thing over and over, to use many idle words. Saying the same thing over and over. Go back to that place, Matthew 6:7. Please look at the issue there. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. That means they are relying on their much speaking for the answer. So that means they think they will be heard because of their much speaking, which is again self-righteousness in prayers. Jesus was reproving them of self-righteousness in prayer. Jesus was correcting their wrong prayer attitude, their wrong attitude in prayers. Hope you are getting me, brethren. Let me go back to verse 5 again. See something from verse 5. And when thou prayest, pray, and thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Can you see that? Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now, let me show you something. Rush to Luke 20:46. See, talking about self-righteousness, talking about pride, about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. I explained that yesterday. See, Luke 20:46. You have to open your Bible. Please don't sleep. Put yourself in a position where you should not sleep. Please, I beg you. Luke chapter 20:46, beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long robe and love greeting in the marketplace and the highest seats in the synagogues and the chief rooms at feasts. See verse 47, which devour widows' houses and for a show, make long prayers. That means the reason for their long prayer is for a show. The same shall receive greater damnation. So for a show, they are not, that means they are not praying because of God. They are praying for a show. Now, I've said all this yesterday, that is why if you are a prayer warrior in church, if you are a prayer jacker in church, you must ensure you are a prayer jacker in your home. Amen. If you are doing very well in the world, in your exam in church, you must ensure you are doing the same thing on your street too. Are you with me? Praise God. You are not doing it to prove any points. No. Hallelujah. We do things for God, for the saints. Glory to God. To encourage the saints. Matthew, go back to Matthew now, chapter 6, verse 8. Hope you are getting this. Taking it as slowly as I can. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Please go back there. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Please, don't forget that. He said your Father knows what things you have need for before you ask him. Now, that does not mean that don't talk much in prayer. That does not mean pray just for 2 minutes and keep quiet. But he's saying don't pray long because of doubt. Yes, and that thing that is verse 8 is saying. It's don't pray long because of doubt. Don't use vain repetition as the Eden do. Don't pray long because of doubt in your heart. Before you pray, Pastor Nanka will say, before you pray, deal with doubt. That means, you know, that means people who are praying die. They don't really believe that God is not deaf. Or they don't really believe that God is not partially deaf. That means they actually believe that they think like he will not hear one. Are you with me? So you are not praying long much because don't use long prayer to deal with doubt. Use the word to deal with doubt. Do you get me? Don't use long prayers to deal with doubt. Use the word to deal with doubt. The word of God. Thank you for understanding. Go to verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. He now says in verse 9, After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hold on. Now, before I continue on that, let me take you to something in the book of Luke. Because we must really establish a common ground in this teaching. Today is actually very important. Please don't forget to listen very carefully. Okay, don't forget, Luke's account looks like a third-party account. Like, Luke is not one of the 12, it's not one of the 12, this Luke is not one of the, Luke that wrote this one, it's not one of the, I don't think it's one of the 12 disciples. No, I don't think so. Luke here is the companion of Paul. I give it to me, which people say, it was a doctor, it was a physician. So it was actually part of the disciples. So we can clearly say that, but see what he said in Luke 1 verse 1. Looks like Luke learned from other apostles. Please listen carefully and open your Bible. Luke 1 verse 1. For as much as many have taken. See, many. That means it's not, some people have already written. Say, for as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they deliver them unto us. So I can clearly, can simply say some books, some of the gospel accounts have been written before Luke wrote his own. Okay. Which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. From the beginning. That means from the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, of course. Verse 3. It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things. He's not saying he was there from the beginning. He said, but he had perfect understanding of all things from the very first to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things which of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So clearly, we can safely say some people must have written before Luke wrote. Don't forget that. Some people must have written before Luke wrote. So, like, I actually observed that Luke's writing was not as does not really follow a chronological order like that of Matthew. Like, it didn't really follow, like, some of the stories are actually scattered. E.g., go to Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Luke 12, 10, 21. We must use an holistic view to look at these books today. Luke 10, 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. 22. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son who the Son is but the Father. Please pay attention to what you are reading. And who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. See verse 23. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Just put your hand there in your Bible, or if you are using your electronic Bible, just put your hand there. Rush to Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. Please, you have to look at this thing. I'm not saying just be listening, please. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seems good in thy sight. Now saying 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now Luke did not write that one. Luke wrote, we could see verse 25 to 27. In Luke, he didn't write this 28, he didn't write 29, he didn't write 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for yourself, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But see, if you go back to that Luke chapter 10, in verse 23, now say, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things. But go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 16. So, Matthew 10:16 now, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Which of course is a response to the parable of the sower. But in Luke, it was not like that. Like, Luke did not really follow the order. Let me see Mark 2. E.g., see Mark chapter 4, verse 20. Let me show you something. Let's be fast. Mark 4:20. And these are they which were sown on a good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100, which coincides with Matthew 12. Remember Matthew 12? Eh? This Mark 4 coincides with Matthew 12, which is the parable of the sower. You should remember that. Matthew 13 rather, parable of the sower. But I just read Mark 4:20 to you now. See Mark 4:21, the next verse. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? Where is that in the book in Matthew? Think. This Mark 4:21, where do we have it in the book of in Matthew? That a candle should not be put under a bushel. That is Matthew chapter 5. When he's saying you are the light of the world, right? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Are you with me? Hope you are getting this. Go back to Luke again. See Luke 11. Now see Luke 11 verse 1. So I know I'm a bit fast. It's so that I don't even know why I'm fast. Luke 11 verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Matthew did not record that one. But we are going to learn from it. But that verse 1, Matthew did not record it. He didn't record it that it was when he was praying that they came to him. The Lord's Prayer that we saw in Matthew 6 was inside that sermon. Was inside that sermon of exposing their hypocrisy. So, see verse 2, verse 2 says, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father, which is at in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, if you are reading that this place, you know something is really wrong. See verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and said unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, and is come to me. I have nothing to set before him. Verse 7, and if from within shall answer, and said, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me, and I in bed, I rise not and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise to give him because he is friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. That's in verse 9, and I say unto you, ask and shall be given, seek and shall find, knock and shall be opened to you. Now, what I have just read from Matthew, from Luke 11, from verse 5 to verse 9, this one is in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. That is Matthew 7, when he was saying, Matthew 7, 7, you remember? Ask and you shall be given. So, this is the one that Luke put with the Lord's Prayer here, in quotes. Are you with me? Hope you are getting where I'm going. Go back to see the same Luke in verse 10, 11, 10. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask a fish, will he give him for a fish? Will he give him a serpent? 12, for if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Holy Spirit, I can say, is an interpretation, because Matthew said, give good things. Are you with me? But of course, Luke, of course, is also the one that wrote the book of Acts. And I must have written all these things after the day of Pentecost. So, for order, we can say, let's stick with Matthew for now. Don't forget, these books are not spiritual accounts. They are eyewitness accounts. They are eyewitness accounts of a truth. That means you must study. Hey, that means we must study. This is not copy and paste. You must study. It is an eyewitness account. People saw, heard what Jesus was saying, and they did their best to put it down in the best possible way they can. It's not the Holy Ghost that was telling Matthew. Matthew writes it like this. And you must not discard it by... When I say eyewitness account, that is not enough excuse to say, okay, that means the book is not perfect. Don't say it too. Because thank God that they, as imperfect as they may seem, thank God that they put it down for you. Are you with me? Praise God. The perfect idea in the Bible is Christ Jesus. Amen. He is the perfect man that you must see from this, in quotes, imperfect Bible. Of course, especially in perfect Old Testament. So, they only wrote in the best of their honesty, but like we have seen in the four Gospels, not necessarily the other. That's why if you see the account of John, John is also different from all of them. John just focused on things that almost nobody remembered. Because he actually wrote his book, and like we learned, close to when he wrote his epistles. So go back now to Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Are you following me, brethren? Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Are you following? Are you there? Are you listening? Matthew 6, verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of, before you ask him. So he's saying, don't be like them, because your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So he was telling them how not to pray. Please write that down clearly. He was telling them how not to pray. Not how to pray. How not to pray. Now say in verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9, after this manner pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven. Thanks, Tabuki. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I'm coming back to that. See verse, and then next verse, verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, please start paying close attention. I have told you, Jesus' words are not based on legalism. Amen. Praise God, though. Jesus' words are not based on legalism. So if Jesus really said this is how to pray, then brethren, brother, sister, then that is how to pray. Oh, let me say it again, Sister Shioman. Thank you. If Jesus really said this is how to pray, then that is really how to pray. If he said it, his words were not based on legalism. Jesus never preached for Moses. He never continued Moses' work. I've said to that in part 1, part 2, and more, that he never sustained that law of sin and death. He pulled it down in his teachings and in his experiences, in his actions. He never sustained it. So, forgiveness of sin is why Jesus came. Like, he knew that. From even John said that, from John 1:29, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. John 1:29, behold the lamp of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Then Matthew 1:21, behold the lamp of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 says concerning him that sacrifice and offering he doesn't want. A body thou hast prepared me. So he knew his purpose. He knew why he came. Hallelujah. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, I have come not for the righteous. I have come to call the sinners to repentance. So he knew why he came. He knew it like he knew it. So, and if you have studied what we call this New Testament portion of the scripture, there is no portion in the entire New Testament that attached forgiveness of sins to prayers. Hear me clearly. There is no other portion of the, if you see, just tell me, that attaches forgiveness of sins from God to prayers. Don't forget, if you are trying to quote James chapter 5 in your mind right now, when he's saying confess your fault one to another, not confess your fault to God. And that is for you so that you can pray for, that is for people who are having issues, so that you can pray for one another that you may be healed. So that is talking about forgiving one another. Mutual love. Are you with me? It's not talking about confessing to God. There is no portion in the New Testament that attached forgiveness to prayers, either jokingly or carelessly. That pattern only existed under the law. After the sermon, if you have anyone like that, just post it to me in the New Testament that attached prayers to forgiveness of sin. No portion. It's only this lost prayer. We are coming there. Just hold on. So, let me show you the one that I have read for you for today a while ago. Matthew 8:32. Don't worry, I'm halfway right now. Just follow me slowly and don't get confused. That's why you need to open your Bible. You need to open to see that as I'm reading. These things I'm saying, it's not about listening, it's about looking at it. Because I'm really going to, I'm still going to read over over 40 scripture before I finish today. So just pay attention. Just relax. No issues. Relax. You are born of the word. This is the word I gave back to you. So you must not be afraid of the word. Thank you. Matthew 8:32. Then this is the only portion that Luke summers. Let's read it. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all thy debts. Hallelujah. Actually, that was the key. I forgave you all thy debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on thy fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee. That means this servant has already been forgiven. 34. And his Lord was wrought. That is not God yet, okay? Hold on. That's not God yet. That is a parable. I've explained the meaning of parable for you. It's figurative, okay? It's just to drive a truth down. So that means in parables, we focus more on the explanation, not the parable itself. So, and his Lord was wrought and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. That is still okay. Like, hold on, I can explain that. 34 can be explained. It is 35 that cannot be explained. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your heart forgive not everyone his brothers their trespasses. 35 is the one that will look somehow. Because if you go back to 32, he said in 32, I forgave thee all thy debts. In 33, I had pity on thee. So, the effect of 34, 35 will now look like the compassion I had on thee, the forgiveness I forgave you, I reverse it. Now, with your little knowledge of redemption, you will know that cannot be. Like, that really cannot be. Forgiveness is received once and does not expire. Because it does not get backdated, it does not get reversed. So, actually, if this parable stopped at verse 34, we can simply interpret it as like when you are seeing tormentors in verse 34, talks of inner conflict. I will explain. Hold on. Like, we can interpret those tormentors as inner conflict. That means when you don't forgive, your mind will not be at ease. You all know how you usually feel terrible now when somebody offends you and you are just pumping, you are just swelling like a bread that fell into water. Hey, he did this to me. Are you with me? So, like that, those tormentors looks like not God inflicted conflict, but internal conflict. Are you with me? It's just like you look like you are carrying a load. You are just carrying an heavy load on yourself. That, and of course, that will also distance you from physical fellowship. I'm not saying with the fellowship with the spirit, I'm saying just with physical fellowship. You don't want to pray. Why? Somebody offended you. You don't sing, right? Because you are carrying hurt, bitterness. So, but that can never be interpreted into, because you have not forgiven somebody, God will not forgive you. It is totally contrary to the scripture. Are you with me? So that's the best way we can interpret verse 35 and 35. Tormentors, everything, it's not what they, of course, you should remember God's word and God's action. Thank you for Pastor Joshua that is already teaching them that in Kaduna. Thanks so much. You are loved here. Thank you. So tormentors can never be what God does. That is what you do to yourself. So 34, 35 is God's word, that is man's, and that's why I call man's action, but God's responsibility. That means this is actually man's action and man's result, but again, contrary to God's word. So tormentors is internal conflict, which will eventually cause you not to offer acceptable service. Remember in Matthew 5, he said, when you bring your gift to the altar and you have ought against somebody, go and settle that, so that your heart can be free. Because like James said, prayers must be heartfelt. So you must not have things blocking God from you, but blocking you, injuring you, like a weight. It's, you know, unforgiveness can actually be a weight. Thank you for understanding. So, but to say that, to interpret that as God will not forgive your sin, even the way it seems like that, the sin that God has forgiven you, he will now bring it back because you refuse to forgive your neighbor. If that is the way you interpret it, that is contrary to the canon of the scripture. Please, don't say again that Jesus, but Jesus is only preaching the law there. He's preaching the law of sin and death. No, he never used it to. I don't mean to have used those slang before when we are saying young in ministry and we don't know how to explain all this. So, but no. Jesus was never preaching. He was never using the law of sin and death. So, because if Jesus will come and preach the law, then after his resurrection, he will say, okay, now I am preaching something else. Then we can be confused. Like, if Jesus in his earthly days was preaching the law of Moses, was preaching legalism, and I say, okay, now I'm risen from the dead, though. I have a new message for you. No, that would be really confusing. Amen, amen. Go to Luke 23, verse 33. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucify him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. See this again. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Have these guys asked for forgiveness? Are they even ready for forgiveness? But what did Jesus say? He forgave them in advance. So this cannot be a God that will say, when you don't forgive people, that's when I will not forgive again. Even people who have not even asked for anything, who have not even desired him, he forgave them. Say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Go to Mark chapter 2, verse 4. Mark 2, verse 4. Open your Bible. Don't just listen. Glory to God. Mark 2, verse 4. And when they could not come near unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let it down, wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Without asking for anything. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. See Romans 5 verse 8. Romans 5 verse 8. But God commended his love towards us in that, while we are yet what? While we are yet sinners. Imagine. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. So this is God that will not be angry with you because you didn't forgive somebody. So even while we are yet hostile enemies, he died for us. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Open. Luke 6, 35. I'm coming back to the Lord's Prayer. Just relax. Luke 6, 35. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. See what he's saying. He says he is kind to the unthankful. He is kind to the evil. And guess what? God's kindness is forgiveness. Hallelujah. That is forgiveness. I mean, that is kindness. It's forgiveness of sin. So to say God will only forgive you after you have forgiven people is clearly anti-redemptive, anti-Christ. Hallelujah. What we found in the scripture is we forgive as God forgives. Hold on, okay? We forgive as God forgives. That is what we clearly find in the scripture. We forgive people because God forgives us. Sorry, because God has forgiven us. We forgive based on the character of God that we have. We are sons of God. We have his very nature. Hallelujah. That's why I've been teaching about love in a different assembly for a while right now. Hallelujah. So if you see Ephesians 4:32, don't forget in church. Don't tell me you know it. You open it now. Don't forget I'm already 50%. Just relax. Ephesians 4:32. And be a kind one to another, tender-hearted. You know, that's serious. What is tender-hearted? That means the same way we treat a baby. That's what you must have one towards another. The same way, same thing you do to a baby. A young baby does not bite you and you slap him back. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Tender-hearted. Lady, man, worker, tender-hearted, pastor. Everybody, tender-hearted. Minister, tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. It's a taboo when you ought to be a shepherd, when you be the one, hurtful, and of course, nobody is like that in this place. I'm just saying it. tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't forget what I said initially as I'm starting. I said love is, what did I call it again? Yes, I said love is self-motivated. And I said love is self. There's also one thing I could say about love in that place. God will help me. I'll remember soon. So, Colossians 3:13. You can remind me. I've passed that page. I don't want to go back. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another. I don't know if you are not reading this, if we don't read this thing very well. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Are you with me? Forbearing. Continuous tense. Forgiving. Even if any man had a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do the same. Glory to God. Okay, thank you, Sabuki. Love is a one-sided responsibility. One-sided, like one-sided. That means that's serious. Just do your best and meditate on that all night. Love is one. If you call it, if it's not one-sided, it's not love. If it's only based on what the recipient does, that is not love. Is a one-sided responsibility. And it's what I decide to do because of myself, not because of him. Glory to God. Know this, if you learn all this, it will make you better in your relationships, at work, in your marriage. If you say, I love somebody, oh God, hallelujah. You will be the one to commit yourself to make him better. Glory to God. So, therefore, with all this we have seen, what is the Lord's Prayer saying? It must be explained in honesty. Please write this down clearly. This is actually important. This is what I'm saying. The Lord's Prayer, what you call the Lord's Prayer, it must be explained in honesty or doubted as an addition in translation. Since we have seen the content of the Bible, don't forget, we have in the Lord's Bible interpretation, we have grammar, context, grammar, usage. What's the other again, Pastor Joy? Grammar, usage, content, and context. Are you with me? So now, looking at the content now, that means what the entire Bible is saying, everything. Looking at the entire content, we have seen that forgiveness, number one, is not based on prayer. God's forgiveness, number one, is not based on prayer. Like, we must not find God's forgiveness and prayer points in the same verse. Are you with me? God, he said in James 1, he operates not. He does not find fault. It's not based. He does not give you because it's not because you prayed. You must not find forgiveness and prayer request for because this is the PPA of God. Write that down. Forgiveness is God's PPA. That's what he does. That is his nature. Please get our Jesus series 2. You get him in. That's part 1, part 2 also.
Amen. So what I was trying to say there is that God does not tie answers to prayers to sins committed or to the fact that maybe you are born again or not. No, he doesn't tie answers to prayers. Okay, God does not. Everybody prays to God and he answers. You see that? You see James 1 verse 5. Well, this is a bit. A lot of people find this disturbing. Some people think that God should only answer the prayers of a Christian, and that about an unbeliever that his prayers God will not answer. No, that is not the character of God. An unbeliever cries to God for safety from an accident, and God saves him. An unbeliever cries to God for provision, and God provides, but that does not equate salvation. So what I'm saying is that God does not operate. He doesn't find fault. You see James 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Okay? James 1 verse 5. Sorry, I'm too fast there. Check it yourself. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, okay? Wisdom in this context, but which can be anything. Say, let him ask of God and that giveth to all men. How does he give liberally? Liberally means simply, okay? It means simply. No compulsion. I mean, no condition attached, rather. Simply, sincerely, frankly. Just something in just plainly, he just gives you. He gives you because he's good. Doesn't bless people because they are born again or they are not born again. No. And you see that we say an upbraided knot, okay? To upbraid eyes or on a diesel in the Greek, it means it doesn't find fault. Eh? You know, he will give you what you ask for without finding fault. And that is actually awesome. And that means also, if you ask for salvation, he gives you salvation. You understand? But if you neglect salvation, you ask for things. Yeah, well, he gives you things. And you see the next. That's why it looks like at times unbelievers attend program and they get blessed. Yeah, God does not find fault. But of course, that you are blessed of God to prosper, blessed with the fruit of the womb. That does not mean you are saved. And that does not mean you will not go to hell if you die, even with the blessings of God. You see verse 6. Verse 9 says, but let him ask in faith. Is that a condition? Not really. I think this is meant for the next series of I will explain this more in one of the effectiveness or in prayer series. Let him ask in faith. Faith is not like a condition. No. Faith is just a determination that I want what I'm asking for. Faith is really of man, okay? Faith is just like it's like that persuasion that I want what I am demanding. Yeah. That's faith. It's of man. It's not like a condition that God places before he answers your prayer. No. Faith is just the attitude to which we receive answers. The attitude to which any man receives answers. That's why even for salvation, it's still faith with the heart and with the mouth. So, just going back to what I'm trying to say, God gives to all men liberally. He doesn't find fault. So, I'm trying to link that back to the Lord's Prayer that a lot of people, you know, at times in those days when you pray in the morning, the first thing that your parents will make you recite either before prayer or after prayer is the Lord's Prayer, and the very key is that forgive us our sin. So a lot of people think that this is a condition to answer prayer. No, say sinner or not, you pray to God. You pray to God, they answer them, but that does not equate sonship. That does not equate and favor of God or anything. No, it's just God being good. That's just God being is good to all. He's good to all. You know, that's awesome. Man. We have a father that we can. He's kind to all. He's kind to all. You are a Buddhist. He's kind to you. Muslim. He's kind to you. But of course, we know that the goodness of God is also given for man to come to repentance. Okay, it's part of God's long suffering. That God is good now becomes part of His long suffering to bring man to the cross, to bring man to salvation. Okay, so what I'm saying in essence is so forgiveness, okay, of sin is not tied to answers to prayer. So I will clarify Matthew 6 and much more in series 2 of the teaching ministry of Jesus. And I will clarify that more there. Okay, it will be clearer and it will be far, far less confusing and straight to the point. So watch out for series 2 for the exposition of Matthew 6 better and clearer. Continuing from where I stopped. Yeah. Thank you. Should I say God bless and take care.